Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome today. As always, I have a great show for you on LA Talk Radio, the world's most irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk radio station. Going to help you out today to try to help you understand how your brain works and the brain of workplaces, organizations. Things like that we have to deal with and work in. As always, I invite you to email me if you have questions or comments about whatever we're going to be discussing. Share your experiences. Love to hear that. You can Gmail me here, straighttalktalk@gmail.com, straighttalktalk@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can call in if you would like to. If you're brave, you want to get your voice on the air, that number here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Coming up in a little while, we'll be talking to a special guest calling in from England. It's nighttime there right now, right? Yep. It's about 7:03. And she's written a great book about bullies in the workplace. I mean, come on. I mean, do you have a boss or a manager who's a bully? I think we all have. Are you in one of those workplaces that has vicious gossip and backstabbing or political jockeying for jobs? Or, you know, maybe you're in one of those companies that uses fear as a motivation to get more production out of employees. You know, that's like old school, right? Have you ever, like, been or have you ever visited the Google offices? Oh, my God. What a fun place to work. You know, that is like a fear-free organization. That is a creative environment. For what most of what I saw when I was there, it's an amazing work environment, and I wish a lot of companies would model their businesses after that. You know, I was just talking personally about a situation that used to occur. I was working for ABC Radio in San Francisco for a while. I had a talk show there, and it was a nighttime talk show, so it went into the evening, late into the evening. And you talk about fear mongers and scary situations. We had this thing in the studio when we were live on the air. It was called the hotline. I don't know if you guys have heard of that kind of thing before, but it meant it was a bright red light because we were on the air live. So we couldn't have ringing phones. So what would happen is the program director or the manager would be listening to the content of my talk show and everyone else's for that matter or whatever they were saying or doing, and the hotline would ring. So it was this bright red light either over your head or on the side of the panel in front of the board. You know, your engineer could see it as well, and it would just start flashing brightly. I'd be on the air and I'd be talking, and here we go, the hotline goes off at like 1 a.m. and it's like, oh crap. Because it's the program director telling you what you didn't do right or what you should be doing. So the hotline will go off during a commercial break, hopefully, or it'll go off sometimes when you're on the air live. So they'll just keep ringing it. They'll just keep doing it. So they'll say, oh, you forgot to do this, or don't forget to include this in what you're talking about. And, you know, you should add the latest political issues going on when, you know, you're talking about a psychological issue. So they always have their own input. But to me, I mean, I get that because, you know, you always have to be, you know, on point when you're working in a radio station. I get that. It's really important, you know, to have people keep up with what's going on politically and all the news and the newsmakers and apply whatever you're talking about, especially like when you have a psychological show like mine, to what's going on. And that's cool, and we expect that occasionally. We expected the hotline to ring, oh, don't forget this, because, you know, program directors have to have their own head. They want to feel like they're in charge. But what I'm talking about today is that kind of bullying, fear-mongering mentality where the hotlines go, and we've all experienced this in radio, the hotline's going off like every 15 minutes. Oh, you forgot to do this. Oh, you forgot to do that. Not that, well, many of us could be, but not that we're all narcissistic to think that our radio content's great, but the fact is that we're getting constantly someone nagging at, don't forget that. Oh, you forgot to say that. So anyway, that's sort of something that I wanted to share that goes on all the time in radio. And sort of what we're going to be discussing today a little bit later. So it's how can we change some of these negative workplaces? How can we do that? I mean, what? It's old school. You know, it's old school sort of. If we instill fear in people, if we bully people, you know, they're going to be really on it to fear and work harder. But maybe that's really not the truth. I mean, is that the way you motivate and get more production out of employees? Some. I think not. Well, they'll hate you. They'll hate management and the boss. They'll talk bad in the coffee clutches. On lunchtime outside the office, if they can take that time. But anyway, we're going to talk about how we can change some of these negative workplaces and understand why many businesses think that fear is the best way to control employees. And we're also going to talk about how to stop fearing the worst and overcome the fear of being fired. That's a biggie. If we're in the workplace and we get these weird vibes. You know, the boss is looking at me weird these days. She's not really communicating like she used to. Or she's criticizing more than she used to. You know, there's a lot of gossip going around. I'm being slighted and not included on some projects. So we're going to figure out also how to detect some of the telltale signs that our bosses may want to get rid of us and what we can do to win him or her over. So we're going to wait for my on-air guest to call in just a minute. And again, she's calling in from, I believe, London. So there's a bit of a time frame and a delay that we have. So think about some of the questions you would like to ask my special guest who wrote the book, Fear Free. What is a fear-free organization? And hopefully we'll get some vital insights to transform the business culture. And I hope a lot of you bosses, you managers, workplace, you know, young rising media heavies are listening to this so that you can get your act together and learn how to be a good boss. So that would be a great, great thing for you all. And again, if you'd like to call in live, if you have a question or comment from my guest, that number here is 323-203-0815. Or of course, you can email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So my special guest on the air, let's welcome her right now, Joan Kingsley. Hello there. We do have a delay. How are you, Joan? Hello, hello, calling Joan Kingsley. There's something going on where we're having a little... There she is. Joan, are you with us here live on the air? I think not. I don't think we can hear her. Anyway, Joan, we're going to have her call back. Yeah, Joan, you call us back. The number here is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it some way if you would like to learn how to have a better work organization. Okay? And you can share some of your stories about how it has not worked out for you and some of the mean and intimidating bosses that you have worked for as well. All right. 323-203-0815. We're going to be hearing from Joan in just a little bit. And also, we're going to share some of your stories. The horror in the workplace. So let's see if we can get somebody on the line here. Let's see. We can pull somebody up. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Michelle. Who's this? All right. We're going to try to get our phones working again. We do have some emails coming in here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, explaining some of your workplace problems. Hopefully we can get to some of those messages. Let's pull some up right now. Why not? All right, here we go. All right. Dear Dr. Michelle, hey, how you doing out there? This is Jason. I've been a computer genius. Humble guy, for about the last 3 years in a very stressful organization. My boss is always on my back. There's a lot of backstabbing, as you mentioned earlier, and jealousy. Since I am more of a senior engineer, I get a lot of respect from my colleagues, but I'm very young. My boss verbally beats me up and is always on my back. Do you think that this is something that he does to gratify his own ego? What can I do to avoid this? Whoa. Well, Jason, that's a really good question. And I'm not sure. I don't know if you've ever had any discussions with him or, you know, how you sat down and met with him and explained to him that you might be a little bit more productive if he would give you positive suggestions instead of beating you up. I mean, this is sort of a no-brainer in so many work situations. You know, how do we I don't know if he's a bully necessarily all the time, but how do you deal with jealous employees who you're working with and backstabbing? It's a very difficult scenario. It's a very difficult scene many times. So we have to figure out how we can best talk to our bosses, best talk to our colleagues in a way that won't make you come off defensive. So I don't know, Jason, you're not really explaining to me how you deal with your boss or your coworkers, but sometimes we have to come off calmly, take meetings with them, sit down, and ask them questions. Like, what things could I do to make you feel more comfortable with my work? Not criticize them. You're a bully boss, or you're this or that. Ask questions. Or use the old classic I statements when you're meeting with your boss. Sometimes I feel like, despite the fact that I'm trying so hard, some of my work isn't really appreciated. Do you feel like I'm doing the right job? I know a lot of people fear asking that question. Or do you feel my work is up to par? And what could I do to improve that? That's really the best way to approach people, especially in the workplace, is to constructively ask what you can do to stay on top of things. So that's my suggestion. If you have meetings or rather problems with coworkers, it's always good to try to take some meetings with them as well and say, what am I doing to make you feel so jealous of me? What am I doing that would, you know, make you feel better? What can I do to facilitate your growth in this company or help you out? You know, because this way, what we're doing is we're dealing with open-ended questions. We're dealing with, you know, kind questions, not you statements. You're this, you're mean, you're intimidating. We're dealing with I statements. I'm getting the feeling that, or I feel sometimes that no matter what I do, you're not happy with my work. So, you know, there are ways that you can talk to people. And again, if you want to email me further, I'll get back to you on some of the best ways to talk to our bosses, some of the best ways to talk to our coworkers as well. And if you're a bully boss, how to chill out a little bit. Hey, listen, here's the thing with a lot of bosses who are bullies. They are really, you know, being beat down by their higher-ups. So they have to perform. They get stressed. They put all of our stuff on us. So this is, you know, a common problem that we have to deal with as well. So you guys, you need to understand that it's, you know, sometimes it's not their fault because they don't know. They've never been taught how to be effective bosses. Yeah, they have training. But a lot of the training involves motivation through fear. So what you have to do is you have to learn how to chill out a little bit and help your employees out. We do have a lot of emails coming in at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com asking questions about how to deal with certain type of work environments. And I'm still waiting to get my guest on the air here. It's Joan Kingsley. She's the author of the book, The Fear-Free Organization. Hopefully we can pull her up soon. Again, we have a, I believe, 8-hour time difference between here and London. So, again, email me. Again, more coming in. This is great. And I'll try to help you out with working out situations in the workplace, how to talk to, you know, coworkers, how to talk to managers and some of the bosses and higher-ups, and how to detect maybe that your boss might be gearing up to get rid of you, and why, and how to find out why. All right, we're going to take a short break right now. We're going to pull up our guest in just a bit, coming in live, hopefully, from London. We'll get her up and answer some of your questions here on LA Talk Radio. And don't forget to call in live if you'd like to have any questions about your workplace, 323-203-0815. We're going to take a short break. I'll be right back with you here on the couch with Dr. Michelle.
Starry eyes. you feel it's inside. Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't why? Can we go where summers never lie? Shadows whisper favorite tunes to eager listeners bathed in moons. Can you feel it? Can you feel its inside? The faithful souls with aging leaves stand patrol as rain deceives. Can you feel it? And can you feel its inside? Can we go where lucid dreamers fly? Can we go where language isn't why? Can we go where summers never lie? Summers never lie. But isn't it about chance of standing still? Isn't it about love that always will? Early hours just observe nighttime's meaning to be heard. Can you feel it? Can you feel it's inside? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it inside? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
All right, that's always great to hear from our friends, Cole Stacey. Thank you guys for providing the music. By the way, Capital Sun Spark always does the intro and the close to my show, and Chelsea Austin, love her voice. No reason why. I feel like a DJ. That'd be kind of fun. Anyway, today we're talking about the Fear Free Organization. And, you know, I put it out there on social media this morning about how to deal with bully bosses. You know, how do we know going into a company? Well, hopefully we check it out online. We hear gossip. We, you know, network. This is a great job. It's a great company. Yeah, but the management's kind of an asshole. They're really hard to deal with. And how many times have you told yourself that, you know, next time you're going to do things differently, that you're not going to fall into the same old traps, and you're going to learn from past mistakes, that you're going to choose a great job? Or doesn't this sound like relationships, guys? Or relationships that are good for you? You're not going to let somebody else's bad behavior get you down. How many times have you told yourself that? Well, it's really hard sometimes because, and, you know, I'm not even talking only about relationships because, of course, we get fooled a lot of times. We're excited. It's new, things like that. Despite all these inner determinations and promises, you know, we have to ourselves, we kind of fall into the same old patterns. We really do. So, you know, it's difficult sometimes, and it's very hard to not get into those patterns. But how do we get out of those patterns? How do we change up, you know, sometimes how we relate and how we move into a new company? It's really difficult sometimes. But we have our special guest on the air. I'm so happy to talk with her right now. Joan Kingsley, welcome to the couch.
Thank you.
Well, it's nice to hear from you. Are you in London today?
I am in London.
Oh, lovely. So it's about 7:25. this evening.
Well, it's actually, you had a time change and we didn't.
Ah, there you go. See, we always fool you guys. That's what happens.
6:25 here.
Oh, well.
We change our clocks next week.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, guys, I just wanted to get you up to speed here that Joan, my special guest on the air, Joan Kingsley, is a consultant, clinical, and organizational psychologist, and she's the author of The Fear-Free Organization. It's called Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture. It's really a great read because, you know, what I liked about it, Joan, is it's wonderful for bosses. It really helps management sort of get a handle on the idea that your intimidation tactics and your old school fear and bullying style of motivating employees is not working. And also how to create better working environments, you know, for people. So can you just sort of basically describe what a fear-free organization is like?
Well, a fear-free organization is an organization where people feel valued, where they feel they have status, where they have some kind of certainty about the future, where they have autonomy. They feel like they have some kind of control over what's happening to them, to the work they're doing, and good relationships. That's really powerfully important.
Yes.
And feeling safe with your colleagues, with your bosses. And that there's, you know, we all have this need for fairness. We want the world to be a fair place.
Right, right.
And when we feel there's no fairness, it really erodes at everything.
Yes, it really does. You know, and it makes it no fun. And it makes it, you know, I have clients who come in to see me, Joan, and they're just exhausted, not because they work hard, but because of the emotional stress and chaos that's going on, you know, in their work environments. So it's really difficult. I was talking about this, you know, a little bit earlier. I think we all tell ourselves that, you know, with past relationships or in workplaces that really were stressful, that next time we're going to do things differently, right? Then it seems that we keep repeating behaviors, and again, we get in with the new people and places that make us feel fearful again. So in you talk about the understanding how our brains work. So why do we keep repeating these sort of self-defeating patterns of getting into negative experiences and with relationships as well?
I think first of all, our brains are built. We are built to repeat successful patterns. It's a good survival strategy. So if you have figured out how to survive, but it's a bit like if you grow up in an abusive environment, you know how to survive an abusive environment.
That's right, right.
So you are probably comfortable in abusive environments, which means you might seek out abusive environments
because
you know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
In terms of why do leaders and managers resort to fear tactics, and have done forever. You know, you look at the history of the Industrial Revolution, fear is not a new story in organizations, and in some sense it's better than it was 150 years ago, so that's the good news. And, you know, laws have been passed, so people have some protections, but why is it that leaders and managers use fear so readily?
Right.
Well, fear is our most primitive emotion. It's the most ancient emotion in terms of how the brain evolved, the brain being a hierarchical structure, and without the emotional brain, there is no cognitive brain, there's no intellect, there's no making sense of anything without emotions.
Right.
But that's another story, and we tell that story in the book.
Yeah.
But fear is powerfully important for survival. We have to feel fear, and we have to know when to be afraid, and we have to, you know, if there's a snake in the grass, we go into these very quick survival,
right?
Fight, flight, and freeze behaviors that
yes.
are just happen automatically. Yeah. We don't think about them.
No.
So the point is that fear is a very easy emotion to trigger. Of
yeah.
all the emotions, it takes the least amount of work to make somebody afraid. Just intimidate them,
yeah.
yell at them, and you know, crack the whip, and boy, people start, you know, doing what you want them to do,
yeah.
and that feels very powerful.
Right.
But usually, often, managers, leaders are promoted up and out of the work they do well, and away from the work they do well. I'm working now with the, you know, a young woman who's worked in a big company for a long time, and she now is being offered the dream promotion.
Mm.
And she's terrified of taking it because
yeah.
she is going to have to manage a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And she doesn't really know how to, she knows how to do her work.
Right.
But she doesn't know how to manage people because mm-hmm. nobody teaches you that.
That's right. They sure
it's
don't.
A bit like nobody teaches you how to be a parent.
Well, that's
you
true.
You have to figure it out.
that's true. And by the way, you can learn how to become a manager or treat your employees the correct way in order to motivate them in my guest Joan Kingsley's latest book. She's authored The Fear-Free Organization, Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture. If you want to email me some questions, guys, that you may have about your workplace, or maybe Joan could help you out a little bit, the number here is 323-203-0815 to call, or if you're shy, like I said, email me straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We can talk about that. So, it's really difficult because you're right, Joan. A lot of people are not taught how to be a good boss. Don't you think, you know, on the other side of the coin, a lot of people want to be nice.
Yes.
They don't want to be too nice, but they want, right, they don't want their employees to hate them. So, you know, it's difficult how to find this fine balance, I would say.
Well, the thing is that people mistake nice with no rules, no boundaries.
Right.
You have to be boundaried. You have to have rules and regulations. You have to let people know what's expected of them
mm-hmm.
and where you draw the line. So people go from nice with no rules and regulations to, oh, that's not working.
Right.
So I'm going to be mean and
right.
I'm going to get angry because what else can I do?
Right. Like a little kid, so, you know, throwing a temper tantrum.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that does work in the short term.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. But what you do is you take people from being creative to focusing on survival.
Right.
And as soon as you're starting to watch your back and focus on how do I not get fired?
Yeah.
And how do I keep my job? And
mm-hmm.
how do I make my boss happy?
Mm-hmm.
You lose the plot and your creativity flies out the window. You're not working very well. So the big loser is the organization, actually.
Sure. Yeah.
And in very, very stressful cultures, business cultures,
mm-hmm.
you know, organizations spend a lot of money hiring people and then training them.
Right.
And
right.
if they don't manage people in the right way and they use fear and the culture is driven by fear, people
right.
leave. They don't stay more than a few years.
Right. Exactly.
So, again, everybody is a loser.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead, John.
Yep. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking... you know, as employees, having to put up with a difficult organization or workplace, how best, let's say we really need the job. We're very desperate. A lot of people, you know, and we really need to stay in this job. We finally just got this job, but we're sort of seeing there's a lot of unhealthy things going on in this culture.
Yeah.
How can we overcome stress and sort of deal with bosses who are bullies?
Well, those are two different things. Let's talk about stress first.
Yeah.
Because everybody experiences stress. And there are certain st- stress is not always a bad thing. It's only a bad thing when it goes out of control and morphs into anxiety and panic. So if you talk to any actor, they'll tell you they need to have that stage fright in order
right.
to perform.
Yeah.
So stress is not necessarily a bad thing. But when the stress becomes intolerable and unbearable,
and there's a
performance curve, so that if you have no stress,
right.
you underperform.
Yes.
And if you go over into anxiety, you stop being productive as well.
Mm,
so you want to be in the kind of middle at the top of that bell curve where there's some stress to do well, to do a good job, to meet deadlines. But not too much stress. So it's kind of a very fine-tuned racehorse who, you know, you want a racehorse who is really, has some adrenaline, is ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you overtrain a horse, then it doesn't perform. And you know, we all have the same emotional systems, mammals, human beings, dogs, cats, racehorses. So we all kind of operate in the same way.
Right. What I really go ahead.
Bullying is something entirely different. And bullies are toxic people.
Yeah.
And they don't belong in organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And organizations that tolerate bullies are not very good organizations to work for.
Right.
And if you are working in an organization where bullying is okay, then it's not okay to be there.
Right.
And it's very complicated for people who live in communities where it's not so easy to get another job.
It sure isn't.
And what you need to do is create support networks around you. Because if you're getting bullied, it's likely somebody else's as well.
Yeah.
And bullying is very harmful, so the bully will pick out one person.
Right.
And actually, that person winds up, being very frightened. But so are the people around them, all the colleagues get scared as well.
Right, right.
So if you're being bullied, it's very, very important to keep a diary, a bullying diary, and to record every single instance that you are bullied. Keep a record of it.
Sure. Sure.
Find colleagues to talk to. Mm. If you're in a big organization, go, to your HR department or find a manager in another department. Try and get transferred out of your department if you can.
Yes.
But sometimes you're going to have to leave your job.
Right.
Because the damage that gets done very quickly and is very, very dangerous. Of your emotional and physical health.
Right. Right. You know, at the top of the show... Yeah, go ahead, Joan.
No, go ahead.
The top of the show, I was talking about, how to sort of overcome, fear of talking to your boss, fear of, relating to possible other employees. I received an email at the top from a Jason who said that he was intimidated by a lot of other employees. There was a lot of backstabbing and jealousy going on. He'd been there several years, but also that his boss was really a bully, and he wanted to know how to talk, to these people. So I gave him some ideas, but what ideas might you give in order to, you have some wonderful tips here to overcome and deal with this by setting up, writing in the journal and figuring these things out. What kinds of things can we say to these people?
And I think you can say to somebody who is bullying you, and what's interesting is what he said, that there's a lot of backstabbing, but then it's not surprising that the boss is a bully. So the boss leads the way. Leadership leads. And if you have leaders who are okay with bullying, it's likely that it's trickling down into the organization.
Yes.
So I'm not surprised Jason said that.
Yeah.
You need to feel comfortable enough, and this is difficult. I'm not making light of this. Start calm conversations with your colleagues.
Mm.
And say, look, can you listen to me? Can you hear what I have to tell you about how you're making me feel and the impact of your behavior and your words? And I it's a very difficult thing because when you're being bullied, you lose all your self-confidence.
Right.
So your sense of self. And in a way, you need to find a mentor, a coach, a therapist who is going to give you some kind of support and help you to open up those conversations.
Yes.
And to point out to people, you know, this is how you're making me feel. How would you feel if I treated you like this?
Right.
And it's also quite important to kind of lay down your boundaries. What's okay?
Yeah.
This is not okay the way you're treating me. This is not okay the way you're talking to me.
That's right.
Instead of trying to be a people pleaser, which is what often happens to people who are being bullied.
Sure.
They start blaming themselves. It must be my fault. It must be something I'm doing wrong.
Exactly.
And so I'm going to find ways to please people. And actually, you can't please bullies. There's just no way.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
You never can. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today. She's the author of a really terrific book. If you want to find out how to get yourself into a healthier workplace environment, the book's called The Fear-Free Organization. It's Joan Kingsley, of course, my special guest. She's a consultant, clinical, and organizational psychotherapist and has been working and studying organizations for a very long time and helps create a healthier work environment in many, of the workplaces that she has dealt with. These are vital insights from neuroscience to transform your business culture. What I loved also about this, Joan, is that you sort of talk about our brain patterns, like you were saying a little earlier, that, you know, the way we sort of react as humans, you know, we have the fight or flight, but we also have survival techniques in order to maintain our sanity and survive in difficult situations. So, like you just said, we kind of like go along with it sometimes. We go along with the bullies in the workplace.
Yeah, well, I think people don't realize, because why would you if you're not taught this, that our brains are actually, the architecture of our brains are built on relationships.
Right.
And that human beings became human, very human.
Yeah.
What separates us from reptiles, and this is common of all mammals, is that we live in family systems.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the capacity to look after our young, to love, to connect, to relate, is very powerfully important. It's central to the evolution of the brain in all mammals.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
And when you're in a relationship, you are actually impacting another person's brain.
Yes.
You're tapping into the brain of another person. So when you are, you know, with somebody who makes you feel good and you're mirroring their expressions and you're laughing and smiling, your brain is actually releasing chemicals that make you feel good.
Yes.
So it's all brain-based.
Yep.
Relationships, how the brain develops. And when we, the way we behave to other people either has a very positive impact on brain wiring and firing and connecting, or it has a very negative impact.
Right.
And we don't want to be tapping into fear in a human brain. It's not a good idea.
Right. Yeah.
It actually affects not just our psychology, but our physical health and well-being as well.
Yes.
I mean, it's well documented that high levels of anxiety and panic cause a lot of absenteeism at work.
Sure.
So it's not just, we're not talking just about psychology. Psychology is just a parallel system in the brain.
Yeah.
Psychology emanates from the biology, the neurobiology of the brain.
Yes.
So there's no mind-body split. Everything is interconnected and everything affects everything else.
Yeah. Yep.
And how we treat people and how we raise our children and how we talk to our children and how children are talked to at school and treated at school and affects growth and development.
Right.
But also throughout the lifespan. We never stop growing and developing.
It's so true.
And that's the beauty of the human brain. It's endowed with plasticity.
That's true. We do get to change. Yes. We have a great email that pertains to the next question that I was going to ask you. So I think it's perfect because there's a nice chapter dedicated to this in your book. This is from Lisa, who wrote me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Lisa says, I've been in this mid-management job for 4 years in a pretty, looks like, good financial company, but I've been feeling insecure in my office job because of rumors from coworkers that our boss is on the warpath. What are some of the signs that I could pick up that my boss wants to get rid of me? And what can I do to kiss up to her? Good one, Lisa. Thanks.
Well, if there are rumors going around, they often have some kind of foundation.
Right.
You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. It can be, sometimes it can be that the company's about to be sold.
Yeah.
Or that the boss is being put under threat,
hmm.
you know, not doing a good enough job. Or, you know, so you have to try and get to the source of the rumors. You know, there's the culture of the organization, then there's, you know, the subculture of the organization.
Right.
There's how things are done around here, then there's how things are really done around here.
Right, exactly.
And I think if you're feeling paranoid, you try and check out. Try and do a little digging around. Try and get some evidence.
Yes.
Maybe hang out, you know, at the coffee shop and just, you know, listen. Listen to what's going on.
Yeah.
Listen to the conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And try not to engage in being a gossip monger.
Right.
'Cause that's often when people are telling you a rumor, they want to know what you know.
Right. That's right.
So,
makes a lot of sense. Exactly.
Proceed with care.
Yes.
Is what I would say.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of rumors are just that. I mean, sometimes we can take them to heart. It's great to have that information, as you said, Joan, but, you know, don't take them with a grain of salt and find out for yourself, you know, what's going on.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, asking your boss, can we have 10 minutes together?
Yeah.
I'm feeling that, you know, you're not happy with my work. Is there something I need to know? Is there some way I can improve myself? So don't be afraid to ask those questions, because
right.
a good boss will be grateful that you've asked the question.
That's really true. And then hopefully they'll be honest with you, and you'll feel a lot more comfortable about your position there.
Yeah,
or
I mean,
not.
The huge thing for us, and we write about a lot in the book, is hot cultures. Honesty, openness, and built on trust.
Right.
And when trust gets broken down in any relationship, it's very hard to sustain that relationship.
Right.
We have to be able to trust each other, whether we're at work or in our social world.
Right. It's so true. You know, that applies, as you know, too, as a psychotherapist, to relationships, not only in the workplace, but with our, you know, own personal relationships. You know, that is the biggie, is being able to trust and feel, you know, somewhat vulnerable to where we can be honest.
Yeah.
With our
and when somebody
bosses.
Breaks your trust, it's very hard. The relationship changes, and it's impossible to go back.
Right,
to
exactly. It sure is. You know that it's so true. Well, listen, Joan, we're running out of time here. What is the best way? I know it's gone so fast that listeners can find out more about you and get a hold of your book, The Fear Free Organization. Vital Insights from Neuroscience to Transform Your Business Culture.
Well, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all big booksellers, in e-books, Kindle, paperback. We have a wonderful website. We've done a lot. We've launched in December, but there are loads of articles. We've done a lot of writing. I have two other authors who I've written the book with. And that website is thefearfreeorganization.com. And we are constantly updating that. We're blogging on it and really interesting articles on it.
Yeah, there's some great stuff on there. Help for management in organizations, workplaces, and also help for the employees who have to deal with difficult management or bullies, as we were talking about a little bit earlier.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Joan Kingsley, for
Thanks.
Being such a
Very
great
nice
guest.
Talking to you.
Oh, nice talking to you, too. Have a lovely evening in London.
Yeah, you too.
All right.
Well, you have a lovely day.
I sure will. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All righty. It's always good to know about how to, you know, deal with difficult work situations and how to maintain your sanity in those situations, and also how to maintain your self-esteem, because it can be really difficult, you know, when we're in that chaotic sort of, oh my God, I think I'm going to get fired state. Guys, thanks so much for listening and for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments, would love to hear from you. If you're in a organization that is really difficult, I can turn you on more how to find a fear-free organization and be a happier employee. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Great to have you as always. You can stay on the couch for more superb shows here on LA Talk Radio. I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Dr. Michelle here. Have a good one. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.